Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Join our active roster and be part of Team Hutton 104.5 and help the fight to end blood cancer. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Tennessee Man and Woman of the Year campaign is the nonprofit's largest annual fundraiser, and all funds raised provide life-saving blood cancer research. Just visit 1045thezone.com and make a tax-deductible donation. Plus, check out Hutton's event calendar, special giveaways, and more. The campaign runs through April 27th, so please donate now. Make someday today, because beating cancer is in our blood. More info at 1045thezone.com.
And just for visiting Hutton1045.com, you can sign up to win great prizes. Again, just for visiting the site, like Dierks Bentley tickets. We're drawing a winner right now for a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley a week from today at Bridgestone Arena. Chad, draw a winner for us over there. Who is winning the tickets today? We'll draw a door prize, so to speak, every Friday at this time.
Today's winner, the digital winner, that you hear this, I like to have things audible.
That's right.
Is Craig Cook.
There you go, Craig.
Congratulations to
well
Craig
done.
Cook.
Hey, Craig.
Craig, the Zone will be reaching out to you to let you know how you can claim those tickets. Big thanks to Bridgestone Arena, Dierks Bentley, and everybody involved providing those. 104.5 The Zone stepping up as well and getting us those tickets. And again, Craig, thank you for visiting the site. I believe Craig signed up for the ZONE tournament as well, didn't he, while he was there?
I believe so. Craig is in the...
Made his donation.
Wes,
awesome. Thank you, Craig.
Is he in the... Yep, he's in the tournament.
Craig's in. That's great.
Will Craig purchase a sleigh ride? That's the next question.
There you go.
How much is a sleigh ride?
We haven't decided yet.
We'll put our heads together and come up with a good price.
Hutton and I have to go scout the location here next week also.
We do.
To figure out what we can do around that court, Cumulus Court.
Thanks to our amazing 104.5 The Zone listeners who have stepped up to support hashtag Team Hutton 104.5 this week and our start to the campaign to raise funds and awareness for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Tennessee, who does great work. To fight to end blood cancer. Beating cancer is in our blood, and you can learn more at lls.org. We are just getting started. Thanks to friends of this show, like John McClain, who joins us now. It's presented by FreelandChevy.com. John, coming up on Tuesday, a big announcement. We already know the McClain Dinner is coming back to Nashville in April, and you'll be making the announcement on your special guest that evening, and we'll give the date out on Tuesday at 1 o'clock as well.
No, I look forward to it. I'm fired up about it. I'm fired up to coming in about helping the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Tennessee raise money. Cancer is such an insidious disease. I think we all, if we don't have family members, we've had friends that have been affected by it, and I'm happy to help Team Hutton do everything I can to raise money for the research.
Thank you so much. How are you doing today, by the way?
Couldn't be better, thank you. I'm already, I've done 2 mock drafts. I've written a column, have a mailbag. Even though the season's over, I still work. Besides all my weekly talk shows, I still, Chronicle likes us to have things on our website and in the papers. So, as getting ready to lead up to the combine.
Don't know if you saw Charles Robinson's tweet. He said in a stunning move that signals a financial settlement, Colin Kaepernick withdrew his collusion complaint against the NFL and previously had indicated he would only withdraw it if a lucrative settlement was secured. And I see now the Players Association has sent out a statement that said... Well, I'll catch up on that. Your thoughts on the idea that this is done?
I think the NFL, this could tell you, collusion, they would have to prove that somebody from the league communicated with an owner or a general manager, or owners or general managers communicated with each other, let's do not sign this guy. That's collusion. If they all 32 teams said, we don't want him, he's more trouble than he's worth, we don't think he can play, that's not collusion. So it could be that they found somebody that colluded. Could be that nobody's brought this up. Maybe he's going to get a job. I doubt it. But whatever he gets, good for him. You know, he'll, if he never plays again, he'll go down as being a lot better than he actually was. And he'll be famous throughout history. He can make speeches. He can do a lot of good in society, as he's already done. Put up a lot of his money, raise money to do things good. And I don't think it'll ever be, I don't think Colin Kaepernick will ever be out of the public consciousness. I still think he'll be around. He'll get a lot of attention because of the good deeds that he does. And I'm sure if the NFL has given him some money, the league is happy that it, they don't have to worry about it anymore.
League says it's settled. No details. PA says it's been informed by the league of the settlement of Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid collusion cases.
John, Kaepernick and the Alliance of American Football, the story came out that he wanted $20 million. Of course, we know what they've been offering players, 3 years, $250,000 non-guaranteed. What would be the realm of value for Kaepernick and the AAF? Because clearly he's more valuable than what they were offering. Maybe not $20 million, but maybe so. I don't know. What would you say on that?
Well, first of all, we don't know if that story's true. I see so many things out there every day that I know that aren't true or that I don't believe. And if he was offered, if he asked for $20 million, it could be because he's about to get $40 million.
That's true.
You never know.
Yeah.
And I think had they signed him, it would have gotten a lot of attention. It would have transformed that league into a publicity machine, which is what they want. People would have come out curious to watch him play. I think a lot of people would have tuned in to see him. A lot of people would not have. And it would almost, to me, be a no-win situation for him because he's been put out there by a lot of people like he's a great quarterback. He had a couple some stretches where he was great, but certainly not the last year he played. But it would have certainly got a lot of attention for a league that is looking for attention, not just in attendance, but in the TV ratings.
So, John, I believe that it's a better financial decision for Colin Kaepernick and for his brand at this point just to continue to be a martyr. And he lost his job for his political stance. So the $20 million thing to the AAF, yeah, he's pricing himself out. He really doesn't want to play football. I don't think he wants to play in the NFL. I don't think he wants to play in the AAF. He wants to continue with his brand being a martyr for his political beliefs. But now then I'll ask this question. If you are going to be a martyr for your political beliefs, why take the settlement from the NFL where I'm sure in that settlement he can never talk about the NFL colluding to keep him out from here on out? This is a mixed message from him. If you believe you're in the right and you're true, you fight this thing to the end so at least you can claim there was collusion from here on out and not have a gag order from a court saying you can't talk about the NFL.
But he can say that he settled because he wants to take that money and spread it around and do good for social causes instead of drag this out for years and never know what the outcome is going to be.
Do we think he's going to be able just to say, yeah, I settled, and never say anything about victory over the NFL or how they colluded against him? Because the moment he says that, he's going to be in violation, and he's going to say it publicly.
Yeah, no, well, first of all, if he did violate it, what are they going to do? Sue him again? They're going to sue him this time?
Well, you don't have to sue it. They can go get the money back. I mean, there's clear language in these settlements that if you speak publicly about it, you violated the contract and you owe the money back to the NFL.
Right, and they'd have to sue him to get it back, and it'd be another ugly public court case, which they just tried to put to rest. So I don't see Kaepernick doing that. He's not been one that's spoken out at all. What he's going to do is take that money and do like he did with a lot of his money, put it to good.
Do you buy that Eric Reid has a point to make with collusion by the new contract that he received from Carolina? He says this proves that teams colluded against him.
No, I don't buy it for a second on Eric Reid. He got a one-year deal, then he got a three-year deal. I don't know what his complaint would be.
Paul, you think so?
I mean, it has a complaint about the time he went unsigned, but seems to me it's resolved itself.
why do you think the 49ers never get any more criticism for getting rid of both those guys? It's like they're immune, Teflon. Everybody else gets ripped. Had they just kept them, there wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, I think it's an acknowledgement of a mismanaged time when they were willing to hire Thomas Sula as their head coach.
John, didn't they offer Kaepernick a contract and he turned it down?
I know last year he said that he would play for the same thing he made in his last year, which I think was like $5 million, and they weren't interested.
Antonio Brown, what do you think he would draw on the trade market?
I think he would not draw on the trade market nearly what he's worth to the Steelers because he's a great player, but he's 30, he's a head case, a drama queen, and a diva who's constantly breaking team rules. And the Steelers brought him up, he grew up with them, players know him, you put him into a new environment. And all of a sudden, if he's doing that with new players, young players, and he wants a set of rules for himself and a set of rules for everybody else, he won't go over. But coaches' egos are such. There's a lot of coaches who go, they can control him in Pittsburgh, but I can control him. We can control him with our dressing room. So maybe the Patriots will get him. They got a lot of draft choices.
There's a team that comes to mind for me where I think you put him in there and it makes a world of difference, and that's Green Bay.
Possibly the NFC, but I'm not sure about their new coach. Do they want a guy coming in there who pulls the shenanigans that he has done through the years with Pittsburgh? To me, you would want strong leadership. I would think San Francisco, I can't imagine that they would deal him in the AFC unless it was to a really bad team like, say, the Jets. I don't see it being to a team that that they believe they're competing, say Cleveland wanted him, or Baltimore. Baltimore needs a receiver. I don't see them doing it. I don't see them doing it with any team that could be a threat to their intentions to make the playoffs and compete for Super Bowl. So then put him in the NFC. And then he may decide he wants a new contract. I don't think just all of a sudden he's going to say, okay, I'm gone. I'll play under my current contract. I think he's going to do everything he can to get his agent, Drew Rosenhouse, to get him an even better deal.
I'll say one thing about the Antonio Brown situation. He needs to start sanitizing himself. I understand he's got a meeting with the Rooneys maybe coming up. But outside of Pittsburgh, he needs to say, look, it's unfortunate this thing came undone at the end. I'm ready for a fresh start. And it's going to be like the beginning of Pittsburgh for me, not like the end of Pittsburgh for me. And if you look at my first 6 years in Pittsburgh, it was an unprecedented 6 years, and I'm ready to go give that to somebody else. And I'm going to be a great soldier and a part of something fantastic somewhere else, the way I was when I started with the Steelers. And he's got to start spinning that, and his agent's got to start spinning that.
What do you think, John?
I can't imagine anybody would believe that BS. He can say it to the high heavens, but he's certainly, how does it, 30 years old? He's 30 going on 13 with all the issues he'd had off the field. And these things have been going on behind the scenes. I was told by two guys that didn't know the Steelers very well. It just started surfacing when he got suspended. Finally, a lot of it, they don't blame just Brown. They blame Mike Tomlin for letting him get away with it.
So, John, I mean, obviously Art Rooney, highly respected across the league, right?
Right.
If you are another owner and you are even entertaining the option of paying big money to bring in Antonio Brown, don't you think they would call Art Rooney about him? And then my follow-up to that is, Art Rooney seems to be such a good guy. Would he even be honest with them about Antonio Brown if the honesty was really negative about him? Like, he doesn't seem like the type of guy who's going to badmouth someone to other owners if they're trying to make a living somewhere else.
You're right, but I also think that it could be how close the person was that called him. Would it be another owner? Would it be a general manager,
right?
Somebody he trusted? He said, look, I'll never say this publicly, but here's the deal. Maybe they'd say, well, do you think he's capable of changing? He'd say, sure, he's capable of changing. Well, will he change? And then my response would be, well, if I thought he was going to change, we'd keep him.
615-737-1045. Our number, we go to Chuck on line one. First up today for John McClain. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Hey, John. Quick question. If at the combine, Kyler Murray measures 5'8 instead of 5'10, does that change where he gets drafted? And I hang up and listen. Thanks.
I can't remember the last time a 5'8" quarterback did anything in the NFL. I realize times have changed, systems have changed. I just had lunch here with George Whitfield, the quarterback guru out of San Diego. He's here doing a football camp, and he told me a story that I've never forgotten, and I asked him to repeat it today. The Elite 11 quarterback camp that Trent Dilfer puts on every year for top college quarterbacks in the country, Kyler Murray coming out of high school in a suburb between Dallas and Fort Worth was there, and he was so small, he looked like one of the kids that was helping. And each of the quarterback gurus had a station, and these top big arm, tall big arm quarterbacks would come through there, and they would do a drill. And after it was over that night, all these gurus were sitting there talking, and one of them said, is it just me, or did Kyler Murray seem to have as good or better an arm all these guys? And then they were all just amazed at how small he was, how well he threw the ball. You know, Lincoln Riley said on national radio this week, he's 5'10 and 200. I don't buy it. At the Super Bowl, he had on Timberlands that made him about 2 inches taller. But if indeed he's 5'8, that will scare away some teams, especially teams that like pure pocket passers and have been dealing with a pure pocket passer. I don't see the Giants, the Patriots, the Chargers, that they would be interested in a quarterback who is so totally different than the current starter.
Howie is our next caller for John McClain. Hey, Howie.
Hey, guys. John, thank you so much for what you do on the radio.
Thank you very much, Howie.
Yeah, y'all have some great insight. It's just awesome to hear. So now that the Kaepernick situation is done, technically, in your experience, just kind of being ear to the wall, do you see any lasting effects in the NFL as far as the fans and the executives in the NFL, positive or negative, that cannot be turned over? Or is it always the flash in the pan and we're just turning the page?
Okay, I'm sorry. He cut out on me. What was the question?
The lasting effect that Kaepernick will have moving forward on the league.
I don't think they'll have any effect at all. Ratings are up. You know, 2 years ago when people were kneeling, there was the demise of the NFL. I remember Mark Cuban talked about it. The Rockets general manager said it. And now the NBA ratings are not as good as at minor league football. And so the NFL is always going to be a great sport. It's always going to be number one. And there are always going to be controversies and issues. You know, when the movie Concussion came out, it was going to be the end of the NFL. And I've been seeing this predicted for the last 42 years since I've been covering it, and there is nothing that has been able to bring down the NFL.
And, John, isn't the message, the lasting impact of Colin Kaepernick, what it's always been in big business? Defy us, cost us money, hurt our business, and you're not employed? Unless you're an owner of a team. I mean, that seems to be a simple basis
yes.
for everything in business throughout time. And to me, that's the lasting impact of Colin Kaepernick. Regardless of the stance or what you think about it, it's a business decision. It's the NFL saying, you hurt our business, you're gone. It's that simple.
That's a great way to put it.
Who gets away with defying the league? It's an owner. Al Davis, renegade owners, they get away with it.
I can't tell you, I mean, people I've talked to that, Once he started kneeling and got attention, how many sponsors, suite holders, club seat holders, ticket holders wrote, called, texted, sent people that I'm canceling if it keeps up or if you sign him. It was a noble cause. He brought a lot of attention to social injustice. That's what his method was. There was method to his madness. It cost him his career, but he's made a lot of money. He's raised a lot of money. He's done good with his money. So have a lot of others. A lot of issues. A lot of people have been helped in our society because of the stance that Colin Kaepernick and others took. But the bottom line is just what you said. You cost us money, you're not going to be employed.
What do you think of the Adam Silver story? It sounds like he said he didn't give it any thought, but he didn't deny that he was legitimately getting feelers maybe from some NFL owners about his willingness to maybe flip over when things were at their worst for Roger Goodell.
Paul, I can only see two owners doing that.
Jerry
Jones, who threatened to get him fired, said he would get him fired. I could see Jerry being bold enough and being such an egotist, he thought he could do something like that. And I could see Robert Kraft, when he was so angry about Deflategate on top of Spygate, thought they were being picked on unfairly. He's a powerful owner. I could see him doing it. And I don't see other owners doing it on their own. I don't think that the league office said, hey, we want to get rid of Roger. Why don't you reach out to Adam Silver? But I could see a couple of owners who are more powerful and influential than others doing something like that.
Final call for John McClain this afternoon is Donald to discuss the Cincinnati Bengals. Hey, Donald.
Hey, guys. How you doing? How you doing, John? Always good to talk to you.
Great, Donald. How are you?
Just fine, yes, sir. I just got two questions to ask you real quick about the Bengals here. Why is so the final defensive coordinator? And then also, too, I'm hearing rumors that they're looking at trading Andy Dalton because they're looking at getting a quarterback. Is that, do you see any of that happening?
I don't, but when you have a new head coach, you never know, especially when that new head coach is so little experience. Now, it's almost going to be like Dalton is going to coach Zach Taylor. I don't see them getting rid of him. There's no guarantee they're going to get a draft choice of some, one of the top guys that they want. You never know, though. It's going to be a lot of veteran quarterbacks on the market. This is not a good time to try to move one of your guys to, if it was like last year, the year before, maybe. But this year there's going to be so many out there. They got a lot of needs on that team that are a lot worse than having Andy Dalton, who was hurt last year and has never been great, but has helped them get to the playoffs a couple times. And I wish I could tell you more. As far as the defensive coordinator, Dom Capers is out of work. He turned him down. Aaron Glenn's never been a defensive coordinator. They wouldn't let him out of his contract. It's like they're really struggling to find somebody who'll come in there. I think they're known as like the 33rd franchise. You know, they don't spend money like others. I don't even know if they have an indoor facility yet.
They don't.
And then they had to hire a quarterback because he was associated, a coach because he was associated with Sean McVay. It's not a good look what the Bengals are doing right now.
So what do they do on a bad weather day in Cincy and on a Wednesday?
Practice in the weather.
Rough it out. Tough it out.
That's ridiculous. With the money in this league. So bad.
Zach Taylor, I mean, he had a pretty good answer when he talked about, like, it was actually his favorite job opening because he looked at the stability and the time they gave Marvin Lewis, and he knew going there that they were going to let him see it through, which is a pretty good answer.
He better hope so.
John, thank you, and we look forward to the visit on Tuesday and our announcement about the McClain dinner coming to Nashville.
I do, too. Thank you very, very much, and I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you, John. John McClain, twice a week with us, presented by FrelandChevy.com. It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.